Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, a program that has been on the air since 1937. And the purpose of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance is to bring Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to a lost and dying world. I hope you enjoy this Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a holiday. Spending time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem. Greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday.
Well, the Christmas season is upon us. Welcome to this first program of the Christmas season for 2024. I hope you enjoy the message. I'll be preaching a sermon that I preached in North Carolina the last part of the month of November, titled A Certain Place. Hope you enjoy that. I'll be airing that this weekend as well as next weekend. And then the weekend before Christmas, our annual If Christ Had Not Come reading from my dad's sermon. And then the last 2 weeks of the month of December, we're going to be sharing a message preached by my dad. Do keep up your prayers. Our ministry year is over. We finished our final revival meeting in the month of November. We'll be speaking December the 1st, this weekend, at Flintwood Wesleyan Church for both of their Sunday morning services. And then I will also be speaking at the Bedford Free Methodist Church in Bedford, Indiana. That's December the 29th. But other than that, spending time with family and with friends. So I do cover your prayers during this time, and I do hope that you'll consider including the Lights of Spiritual Guidance and Lohman Ministries in your Christmas giving. As we've often told you, we are a faith-based ministry, and we depend upon our listening audience to help keep this program on your radio station. So you can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our webpage. You can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. And also, I'm offering my Christmas album titled Christmas at the Cottage. 15 Christmas songs, some secular, but then a lot of them are the traditional Christmas carols. So if you'd like your own personal copy, I'll be glad to send it to you. Again, you can go to our website and request it, lanelohman@me.com. You can also give through the Venmo or PayPal tab there. It's lohmanministries.org. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience, and I pray that you would bless the listener today. I pray that as we consider the various places in our lives, that you would help us to realize that we need a holy place, a hiding place, a healing place, and we need to be ready for that home place you're preparing for us. I pray that you'd be with the sick and the shut-in. I pray that you would continue to provide for this radio program and Lohman Ministries. You've always done that, and I'm so thankful, Father. We love you today, and we thank you for this time of the year as we celebrate the coming of your Son, Father, Jesus Christ. He came that we might have life, and we are so grateful. I pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to begin the reading with verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Your mind is a magnificent creation of God, because your mind has the possibility, the capability, of cataloging everything that its five senses will encounter throughout your entire lifetime. Someone has speculated that when all is said and done, and we stand before that great tribunal of God, and we have to give an account of the kind of life that we have lived here, then God will take your mind, your memory, and somehow, as only God can do it, he will project it on some kind of eternal screen so that you can see everything you've ever done, every place you've ever been, every activity in which you have been involved. You'll be able to see it for yourself, and it will stand to vindicate or condemn you. That possible reality is alluded to in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, where the writer says, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. In this sermon, I want you to access your sanctified memory banks, and I want you to go on a journey with me. And hopefully, the purpose will be to encourage you, to challenge you, maybe even convict you as you take this journey with me, as we follow the man Jacob, as he was on a journey. In light of the scripture that we read, we discover that Jacob was traveling. He was going from Canaan to Haran. Depending upon the route that you would take, it would be 450 miles in distance. And on this journey, he had an encounter with God that he was never able to forget. Again, look on the scripture that we just read in your hearing. Look at verse 11 of chapter 28 of the book of Genesis. It said of Jacob, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Verse 17. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then in verse 19, he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Places. I'm going to talk to you this morning about places in your life. Significant places in your life. I don't know about you, but when I think about certain events that have happened in my life, I connect a place to that event. I remember Orangeburg, South Carolina. It was a beautiful September morning. I'd just gotten up there in the motel room. We were holding a revival meeting there. I'd gotten my first cup of coffee. I turned on the television to watch the morning news, and I saw unfolding right before my very eyes via that television events that would change the face of America and of the world. I saw planes crash into the Twin Towers in New York City. I saw a plane gut the Pentagon building in Washington, D.C. I visited the place outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where another airliner plunged into the earth as a result of those terrorist attacks. I'll never forget the place I was when all of that began to happen. Places. As you study Jacob's story, you will see that he could point to significant places in his life. He could point to a holy place. He found a hiding place. He experienced a healing place. And he returned to his home place. He could point to a holy place. It says here in the passage that while he's on this journey from Canaan to Haran, he went to sleep. And in that night of rest, he had a dream. And Jacob awoke with the realization that was a holy place in his life. As a matter of fact, in that dream, he saw this stairway stretching between earth and heaven, angels ascending and descending on the stairway. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you the descendants, you and your descendants, this land on which you are lying. You will be like the dust of the earth. The people of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. I will not leave you. I will watch over you. I will bring you back to this land. No question in my mind that if Jacob were alive today and he could stand before this congregation, he would say, that place somewhere between Canaan and Haran, I met God. I had an encounter with God, and it changed my life. Throughout Scripture, time and time again, other scriptural notables had similar encounters with God. Go with me in your imagination to the backside of a Midian desert. We talked about it last night. Here is Moses. He's tending his father-in-law's livestock, and he sees a bush that is burning. That was not an unusual anomaly for the desert in Midian. A lot of quartz crystal rock there in that location. A lot of scrub brush. It was hot, arid climate. The sun would come down and penetrate that quartz crystal rock, magnifying its heat. You remember when you were a kid, some of you older gentlemen, when you would take a magnifying glass and you would burn your initials into the strap on your baseball glove? I remember doing that. The sun was magnified. You could see the smoke curling off the leather on your ball glove. Sun would come down through that quartz crystal, would be magnified, the heat would be there, and it would cause that scrub brush to catch on fire. So it was not an unusual thing. But this particular moment, the bush that's burning does not burn up. It's not consumed. And Moses stands there and he looks at it, wondering what this is all about. And then a voice speaks to him and says, Moses, take off your sandals. The place you are standing is holy ground. And as a result of that encounter Moses had with God, he was led by God down into Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. I believe if Moses were alive today, he would look at this congregation and he would say, that spot on the backside of the Midian desert, that was a holy place. That's where I encountered God. Go with me to the side of Mount Carmel. Here a man by the name of Elijah take on the 400 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. They've called the people of Israel together there on Mount Carmel. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He challenged them. They built two altars. The prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth built their altar. The deal was the God that responds with fire, that will be the God or the gods that we will serve as the people of Israel. And so Elijah gave the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth the opportunity to go first. They put their sacrifice on the altar. and they began to pray early in the morning. They prayed and they prayed, they cried, they screamed, trying to get their gods to respond with fire. Elijah added insult to injury when he said, maybe your God's hard of hearing. Maybe your God's on vacation. One rendering of that says, maybe your God's in the bathroom. Maybe your God's busy and he can't respond. And they cut themselves, all to no avail, no response from their gods. Then Elijah stepped forward and built an altar made of 12 stones, each representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Poured 13 quarts of water over the sacrifice. It gathered in a trough at the base of the altar. And then he prayed what might have been a 10-second prayer. And at the end of that prayer, the Bible says, and the fire of the Lord fell. And the people of Israel said, it is the Lord God. It is he we will serve. Well, I guess so. I believe if Elijah were alive this morning, he would testify to this congregation. That spot on the side of Mount Carmel, that was a holy place. God was there. We had an encounter with God. Might I suggest to this congregation this morning, everybody needs a holy place. You need a holy place. A place where you can point to and say, it was there. That's where it happened. I had an encounter with God and it changed the direction of my life. It changed the dynamics of my living experience. It changed me from the inside out. It was there that I had a holy place. Can you point to a holy place? I can. July the 4th, 1963. Sharon Center Holiness Camp Meeting, just outside of Wadsworth, Ohio, not far from Akron. My dad was the evangelist. I traveled in those years back in the 60s with my mother and my dad to these various camp meetings across the Midwest. And I must confess to you that that summer of 1963, I was traveling with my mother and dad to those camp meetings, not for the spiritual benefit that I could derive from them. No. I went for the girls. When we'd arrive on the campground, I would just kind of scope out the possibilities. And I remember there at Sharon Center Holiness Camp Meeting, I spotted a red-headed, freckle-faced young lady by the name of Kathy Hart. She caught my eye. She had a smile that would light up a room. And I can remember inviting her to sit with me in the services. And sitting there in the service one night, July the 4th, easy to remember. July the 4th, 1963, sitting with her back there toward the back of the tabernacle. The Spirit of God began to walk up and down the aisles of that old rustic setting. He turned in that bench where I was sitting, and he began to speak into my ear. This is kind of what he said to me. Lane, you're not going to make it to heaven because your dad's the preacher. You're not going to be ready for eternity because your mother is an incredible prayer warrior. You're going to have your own personal encounter with Jesus. I knew he was talking to me. And I knew, well, I'd heard it all of my life. This was the moment. I had to do something about it. And so when my dad gave the invitation, I stepped to the nearest aisle, made my way to that altar, and I knelt. My dad came off the platform. He placed his hands on his third son's head, and he began to pray for me. And that night, Sharon Center Holiness Camp Meeting, July the 4th, 1963, at that altar, my holy place. Everybody needs a holy place. I don't know what you brought into this service this morning. I don't know from whence you've come. I don't know what's been going on in your life. I don't know how you view God, Jesus, or the church. But if you don't know him, if you don't know him, you need to know him. You need to be able to point to a holy place. This could be your day. This could be the place. Everybody needs a holy place. Jacob could not only point to a holy place, he found a hiding place. Go back to the scripture in question, and it says that God spoke to him in that dream in verse 15. He said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You see, Jacob had an encounter with God, and God had given him a promise. And I promise you this morning that the moment that you, by faith, activate the grace of God in your life, everything in the Word of God becomes something that you can cling to. It is at your disposal. Every promise, everything that Jesus offers is yours. I will be with you, he said. He not only could point to a holy place, he had found a hiding place. He told us in his word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The world can't tell you that and carry it through. He said, cast all your care on me because I care for you. The world can't offer you that. The songwriters have penned it well. One songwriter wrote this, I have found a hiding place when sore distressed. Jesus, rock of ages to my soul. Another writer put it like this, hiding in thee, my blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Go with me in your imagination to Bridgeport, Connecticut. Sit a little blind woman there by the name of Fanny Crosby. Blind from the time she was 6 weeks old. She wrote 8,000 songs, many familiar to us today. She penned these words. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. Everybody needs a hiding place. I don't know what you brought into the service this morning. I don't know what's been going on in your life this week. But life has a way of throwing things across our path unexpectedly. That's why everybody needs a hiding place. You may be struggling. You may be hurting. You could use this place for a hiding place today.
Our time is coming gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Thanks so much for listening. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. I know you would also be welcome in Fostoria, Ohio, at the Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us a letter. Include us in your giving for Christmas. It would mean so much. You can write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.